Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and especially today am I rejoicing in the fact that we do have a Savior who is sufficient to meet our need, who has come for the purpose not only of redeeming men, but for the revelation of God. We were saying the other day that we have in the Old Testament four beholds. Behold your king, behold my servant, behold the man, and in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And I would like today to raise this question, because in chapter 19 of the book of John, you remember that the Jews, when Pilate said to the Jews, I will scourge him and let him go, they said, you can't do that because he made himself the Son of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We were dealing in our last lesson with respect to the coming of the Lord. Behold the man. And we found that one had to be a member of the human family to redeem that family. And as the 49th Psalm says, no man can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God had to come into the human race as a man in the midst of men for the purpose of redeeming man. But he also came for the purpose of the revelation of God. You know, in Zechariah chapter 13, God speaks about, smite the man who is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. The man who is my equal, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, who came? The question I raise is Jesus God manifest in the flesh? If I were to put it in the negative, if Jesus of Nazareth is not God manifest in the flesh, what then? Then we have no revelation of God. We have no revelation of the heart, compassion, tenderness, love of God. In fact, in the Epistle of John, chapter 4, the Apostle John declares not to believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh is the spirit of Antichrist. You see, the importance of Calvary is who died. That's why when you come to your epistles, the Spirit of God is very, very exact in this. It's Christ who died. It's Christ who died. It's the importance of it. That's why in the book of Job, as we were saying the other day, Job cries for a mediator. In fact, he cries out in the 23rd of Job, oh, that I might know where to find him. I wish I had someone who could make it possible for me to plead my cause before the throne of God. Where can a man find a mediator? I say the importance of Calvary is who died. Now, when you come to Scripture, we find that the Old Testament prophets spoke quite clearly, very distinctly about the coming of one who would be God's man and yet would also be God manifest in the flesh. You remember Moses prophesied that God would raise up a prophet like unto him, and unto him would the gathering of the peoples be. In Isaiah chapter 7, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, now notice the name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. In chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6 and so on, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in chapter 11 of Isaiah, He's going to come to reign over all the nations of the earth. All nations will be under his banner. He will reign in righteousness. That's when man will really have justice. In chapter 7 of Isaiah, it's a sign. In chapter 9, it's a gift. In chapter 11, he's a savior. You see, there's no question about Isaiah prophesying that there would be one coming into the human race who would be God manifest in the flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. You remember in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 down to the end of the chapter. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. In the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, this one who is going to come, going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, is an eternal ruler, whose goings forth have been from eternity of old. In chapter 7 of Daniel, he's the one who comes to the Ancient of Days, unto him was given a dominion, and so on. You remember in Matthew chapter 26, when the high priest said to Jesus, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? Jesus said, thou sayest, not only so, but the Son of Man will come in the clouds of heaven. And he cried out, blasphemy. We don't need any witnesses. We've heard him ourselves. He was worthy of being killed. And may I remind you again that Jesus Christ died and was delivered up to death and died because the Jews declared that Jesus claimed to be God. They said he was a blasphemer. Question with the Jews was his person. Pilate didn't care about his person. All Pilate cared about was, what's he done? What evil hath he done? I find no fault in him. And Malachi, the last book of your Old Testament, ends with the Lord coming as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Emmanuel, God with us. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. May I suggest that the child was born, the son was given. In fact, in the Gospel through John, which is the book of Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh, over 40 times in that book, we read about Jesus Christ being sent. Well, you take John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In John chapter 17, verse 18, our Lord in his high priestly prayer said, Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, herein is love, not that we love God, he loved us, and sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. He repeats it in verse 10 with the change. He sent his Son to be the propitiation, the redeeming sacrifice for our sins. He was sent into the world for a purpose. He left the glory, took his place in humanity, and one of the most important things was not just to redeem men, which we've already spoken of, but for the revelation of the Father to men. He could say in John 17, Father, I have given these men thy name. I have given them your word. And after resurrection, he could say, go and tell my brethren that I have sent of my Father and your Father to my God and to your God. The revelation of the Father. And when he made this claim, you remember he was charged with blasphemy. You take, for example, in John chapter 5, after the Lord had healed a man 38 years infirmed, he did it on the Sabbath day. This made the Jewish leaders mad, because they accused him of breaking the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And they said, "Why? You're making yourself equal with God." They sought the more to kill him, not only because he had broken the Sabbath, but because he made himself equal with God, claiming that God was his Father. And the Lord didn't contradict that. He said, "You're right. And as my Father has the authority to raise the dead and make them alive, I have that same authority." Now, you and I might pray for the Lord to do something for somebody, but Jesus didn't do that. He had the authority to do it. No one has that authority but God. That's why when he forgave man his sins, in the Gospels, the man smitten with palsy said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." They said, "Who is this that forgives sins? It is God's prerogative." You take in chapter 8 of John. He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." "Who do you make yourself?" they said. He said, "If you don't believe who I am, you'll die in your sins." "Which one of you convicteth me of sin?" They said, "You're a Samaritan, you're demon-possessed." And he goes on to speak of the fact of his relationship to his Father. And they said to him, "Who do you make yourself, God?" He said, "Yes. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. He knew that I was the El Shaddai, the mighty God." In fact, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "The one who comes, God is going to send his son unto us, a son is given." Who is he? He's the mighty God, the Father of eternity, the Prince of Peace. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." You are not yet 40 years of age. And have you seen Abraham? "Before Abraham was, I am." He didn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was." "Before Abraham was, I am. I'm Jehovah." And you remember in the book of Exodus chapter 3, this was his name forever. When God revealed himself to Moses as Jehovah, "This is my name forever." Jesus said, "I am." And you know what they did? They picked up stones to stone him. They either had to stone him or kill him. They either had to stone him or worship him. And that's still a thing. Come to chapter 10 of John. "My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one is able to plunder them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And they picked up stones again to kill him. That's why when you come to chapter 19, the Jews said to Pilate, "You can't let him go, for he made himself the Son of God." And not only so, my friends, but he claimed to be God. He claimed to be God. He proved what he was by his works. That's why in John 14:11 he said to his disciples, "Believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me, or else believe me for my very work's sake." You remember, I needn't go into this except to mention it. You take the four Gospels and read them. Do you know of anyone in the human race that ever touched a leper and healed him? Do you ever know of anybody in the human race who could say to the storm, "Be still," to the winds, "Stop your blowing," who could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men, who could turn water into wine? My friend, this is the act of a creator. This is the act of God. He could take a man 4 days in corruption and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And wherever Lazarus was, he heard the voice of Jesus. That's why when you come to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, 17 and 18, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the authority, I have the keys of death and of hell. He has the authority. That's why at the end of Matthew chapter 28, he could say to his disciples, all authority is mine in heaven and in earth. That's why in John 17, he could say to his Father, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh. I tell you, friend, I'm talking about one who was God, who came into the human race for the purpose of the manifestation and the revelation of God to men. And as I've oftentimes said, you rule out Jesus Christ as God, and you have no revelation of God. You think about it. There never has been in the history of man one just like Jesus. He was God manifest in the flesh. And he not only claimed to be God, but he accepted worship. Do you remember in John chapter 9, when the blind man had his eyes open, what did he do? When Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? I that speak unto thee am he. And he fell down and worshipped him. And the Lord accepted that. You take, for example, when our Lord was born as a babe in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. The wise men came, and I'm quoting Matthew chapter 2, the wise men came and brought their gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, and they worshipped him. Who? The babe? You take the gospel through Luke chapter 2, the shepherds came after being told there is one born in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And they came, and they worshipped the babe. I tell you, my friends, you can't get away from Jesus. When he was 12 years of age, he was the center of attraction, as he confounded the doctors in the temple. And wherever you find Jesus of Nazareth, you find him the center of attraction. Where is he today? At the right hand of God, the center of attraction, worshipped by angelic beings. He's been exalted to be a prince and a savior. And by the way, may I suggest, he was crucified because of these claims. This is why they crucified him, because he claimed to be the Son of God. Now you're going to ask me the question, then how can you prove this? Friend, listen. The fundamental truth of Christianity is not only that Christ died, but he was raised again from the dead. And God marked Jesus Christ out from everybody else by the resurrection from the dead. Who by him, says Peter, who by him do believe in God, who raised him from the dead, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Or as Peter said in the first chapter of his epistle, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Or may I take the last chapter of the Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 20. And if Dr. Westcott, the great Greek scholar, is correct, and I believe he is, that John, the Epistle of John, was the last book he wrote. He wrote it after Revelation. We find he says this, talking about our Savior who came, this is the true God and eternal life. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. The revelation of God, God manifest in the flesh. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Let me read something, and I don't know where I got this, but it always appealed to me, and I'm going to read it to you. Like man he walked, like God he talked. His words were oracles, his works were miracles. Of God the true expression, of man the finest specimen. Full-orbed humanity, crowned with deity. No taint of iniquity, no trace of infirmity. Ecce homo, behold the man. Ekadeus, behold your God. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. And this same Jesus said to the people of his day, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. But if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. My friend, why don't you accept this one who has been exalted to be a prince and a savior? This one who has brought to us the revelation of the heart, tenderness, love, and compassion of God. May he be your savior today.